The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
MSW Media.
What a catch by George Kittle!
Hey Niner fans, George Kittle here with a pro tip for making the best play on your eyewear. Visit Zinni.com, the official eyewear of the 49ers. Zinni has changed the game for you, finally making prescription glasses affordable for everyone. At Zinni, you can find over 3,000 frames with unbelievable prices. Look for the Kittle's collection so you can rock our styles every day too. So visit Zenni.com, start shopping from home using their virtual try-on, and change your eyewear game forever.
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. But this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes. This is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn. I am Dan Dunn. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. With me on the show today, fan favorite, world favorite, really, the great Cecilia Betzel. How are you, Cecilia?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I'm okay. I mean, you're not going to bullshit, you know, so we do these things. We do these shows, and I were charged with recording this episode today on the heels of a bunch of mass shootings, but two mass shootings last night, and you all know about that in Texas and Ohio. So it's not fun, really, necessarily, to have to come and do this today, but I feel like we got to do it because this is what we do. Right, Cecilia?
The show must go on, I suppose.
The show must go on, but yeah.
But at least we can acknowledge it and talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, Jesus, I don't know. We'll touch on that. We're going to come back to that again a little bit later in the show. To take the sting off it a little bit, we're having some Lambrusco right now in here. Ooh. Let's get a little cheers going. We got some Lambrusco. This is called Concerto Reggiano Lambrusco. I'm going to talk about what Lambrusco is in a minute.
Ooh. Mm. That's very, very unusual.
It's a, yeah, it's a curious tasting
spirit. It's bright purple.
So very cool. Today on the show, we've got Adam Carolla, great Adam Carolla. I did a little interview with Adam last week. We're going to drop that interview into this episode of the show that's coming up very shortly. As we like to do at the top of this show, I tell you about stuff that you should be aware of, new products, whatnot. Glassware, Cecilia. Glassware is a thing that, you know, people don't think about all the time, but Riedel,
I love glassware.
Yeah, Riedel, which is makes the glasses that we're drinking out of right now, the wine glasses. If you have wine glasses or cocktail glasses, chances are it's a Riedel glass. So Riedel just came out with these new line of glasses, and they've got, it's called a Nick and Nora glass. Do you know Nick and Nora? Do you know what that's from, Cecil?
I don't know. I've never heard that before.
There was a movie called The Thin Man. It was a thriller, like back in the
like Slender Man, black of the
in
past. The,
back in the day, like the black and white days, The Thin Man. They Nick and Nora played like crime solvers, and they drank a lot.
I like them already.
Yeah, so these glasses are they're the kind of the ones that are up, and they look like a tulip a little, and they got the lip right there. You see that? Yeah, that's the Nick and Nora glass. Hmm. And Riedel just came out with those. You can get two of them for $29.90 for the glasses, but they're just classy.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have them.
Here's my issue. I love glassware, and I love a really nice, nice glass, but I'm also the clumsiest person I know, and so I'm too scared to use my nice glasses, so they end up just sitting there and collecting
dust. What would happen? What are you afraid of?
Oh, Jesus Christ, that scared the shit out of me.
You just broke a glass. Come on.
Oh, Jesus. Someone take that keyboard away from you.
So you just broke a glass. I don't know if you heard that.
I did not.
Man, well, that's what you're
afraid
of.
But I do tend to do.
You do. That's what you do. Yeah, well, that's... Yes.
But that doesn't stop me from buying really nice glassware because I love it.
You know what happens when you break a glass? You know how you feel?
You're like a kid in a candy store. Can't stop you.
All right, so again, not a Paul over today's show, but we're not gonna have too much fun, right? We're gonna try to
just
have fun,
just the right amount of fun.
We're just gonna do what we do. So we are drinking Lambrusco. So as the ancient story goes, Vitis Lambrusca, or wild vine, migrated from the Apennine Mountains to the fields of Emilia-Romagna. That's the area of, and it's up in the northeast part of Italy. Have you been there before, Cecilia?
Not the northeast part of Italy, but I did just get back from Tuscany last week.
Quit bragging.
I drank a lot of Chianti.
So the wild vine took root up there, and there are three provinces, Modena, Parma, and Reggio nell'Emilia. That's where Lambrusco is from, and it dates back to the Etruscans, and this Frizzante red wine has been popular in the old world since the Roman Empire.
Wow. Yeah.
So what we're talking about here is a sparkling red. That's what it is.
Which may sound strange to some, but it's sort of coming back into fashion, right?
It's total. Well, yeah. Thanks for teeing that up for me.
Oh, wow.
So the history of Lambrusco in America has been far more brief and star-crossed than in Europe. And for all intents and purposes, it began in the 1970s with Riuniti, which is a cloyingly sweet, sparkling red of dubious distinction that was almost anyone in the U.S. knew of Lambrusco back then. And it quickly became the number one imported wine in America.
Oh,
did you know that in the 1970s?
I did not know that.
Thanks in large part to this ubiquitous commercial campaign that featured one of the most impossible to get out of your head slogans ever jingled.
Riuniti, so refreshing and right. Riuniti, you're nice. Riuniti, so nice. Riuniti, Riuniti.
Right? Right?
I love it.
You got
Riuniti,
it
you're nice. Riuniti, so nice. Riuniti, Riuniti.
So the promise was simple. Riuniti, served chilled, was so nice.
So nice.
But the phenomenon was short-lived, and by the early 80s, Riuniti had gone the way of disco and shag carpeting. It took the whole Lambrusco category down with it in the States. But as is often the case, Cecilia, with spectacular falls from grace, a comeback was inevitable.
Ooh.
And today, America's rediscovering Lambrusco, only this time around, there are a host of high-quality artisanal producers to choose from, and they're all really competitively priced. Like, you're not going to find sparkling wine as cheap as Lambrusco. And a couple of the bottles that I'd like to tell you about, we'll start with this one, which is called Medici Ermete Concerto Reggiano.
Uh-oh.
That's my Italian. The Medici family, we've ordered them, right?
Yeah, Medici.
The Medici family. Is it Medici or Medici?
I think it's probably Medici, but I like to say Medici.
I think
Medici.
It's Medici, yeah. So the Medici family has been in the Lambrusco business for what? But this is a different Medici family. I don't think it's the Medicis that were like sponsoring, his name?
Popes. And
the Popes, and who was his name? Michelangelo. Not that.
Ah.
Different family. This family's been in business in Emilia Romagna for 120 years. Concerto, the wine we're drinking right now, is their flagship wine, and it's the world's first single vineyard Lambrusco. So that means it's made from grapes from one plot of land, and these grapes are called Salmino.
So most Lambrusco is...
They source the grapes from... Yeah.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Excuse me.
Come on.
I'm sorry. What do you think of this wine? I like it. It's got some berry flavor, little biscuits on it.
Love this.
Clean, dry. You know what? It's about $23 a bottle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I really like how tart and dry it is. It almost reminds me of a cider. Is that blasphemous to say?
No, not at all. I mean, couldn't you see this with like a pepperoni pizza?
I mean, I don't eat pepperoni, but yes.
I could.
I have heard that Lambrusco pairs really well with fatty foods because it is so acidic.
Yeah.
So it cuts it nicely.
It cuts it. Another one, I got to be honest, one of the ones, it's maybe my most favorite in the world, is Clito Charlie. It's C-H-I-A-R-L-I, and it's called Fondatore. And they've been making it since about 1860, and they make it in the traditional in-bottle fermentation, which is known as the ancestral method in Italy, which is where it's actually fermenting in the bottle. That's where you're getting those bubbles from.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they, me spotting my random booze fact, but champagne was created accidentally, right?
It was, yeah.
From on a ship from France to England?
You want to tell us about that?
I don't. That's all I know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's good. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. It was a happy accident. Yeah. Dom Perignon.
Oh, really?
Well, that's...
That was the first...
That's what they say. Who knows?
Oh, very interesting. So is it... So the effervescence is a naturally occurring chemical reaction?
Well, they're leaving yeast in the bottle, so it's fermenting in the bottle. The yeast is what's causing it to do that. So... anyway, this is that one, the Clito Charlie, it's very dry, savory Lambrusco. Another one you want to look out for is called Albino Canali. It's about $28 a bottle. Another one from Emilia Romagna that, as you can probably tell at this point, is the hot region for getting Lambrusco. So now you got that on the radar, right? Hmm. You got that on the radar?
Got it on the radar.
All right. CC.
I like it. I really like Lambrusco.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I do too. So what we're going to do now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, is I interviewed my old pal, Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla is the host of the Adam Carolla Show. You listen to it, CC?
No, wait. I want
to... Oh, go ahead. You want to tell me something?
I was just looking something
No,
up.
Go ahead. Bring it up.
Since you were talking about Lambrusco being so historical, I suppose.
Yeah.
Such an old wine. When I was in Italia, we did go to this vineyard that is trying to recreate old wines. So they're growing historical grapes, vines. I'm not super well versed on wine, but it was a place called Manucci Droandi. But it's this wine called Barsaglina.
I don't know that.
It was so good.
It's good stuff.
Really good.
Do you bring any back with you from Italia?
Actually, my roommate ordered 12 bottles to the house. So.
Really?
Yeah, so you'll get to try it. But it was really, really good. But I have to admit, I was thinking it was something that, you know, people, the Medici's were drinking back in the 1500s. But it was more around, 1890, turn of the century. But I thought that was just a really cool concept to sort of bring back. Feels very Jurassic Park. Like they're finding
I'll cheers you to
DNA.
That. I'll cheers you to that. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Cecilia. Two glasses. Man.
Anyway.
You can't bring her anywhere.
Anyway, moving on from all that interesting stuff. Adam Carolla,
ace man. He is in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the most listened to podcast of
really?
All time. Yeah, and I love Adam, man. He's a good guy, and I've done a bunch of shows with him. So I went out to his studio out in Glendale, California last week, and we had a little chat. And do you want to hear some of that, Cecilia, right now? Do you want to listen to a little bit of that?
I do.
Slug some Lambrusco? Well, then here we go.
Chug it.
In the booze business. We'll talk about that in a minute, too, but he came...
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Maybe we should go back to the beginning of it. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I was instantly caught
right
up.
There. Just jump in.
I was like, ah!
Let's go to the beginning, and here it is. So I'm here with my old pal Adam Carolla. Ace, how are you?
I'm well, despite what we talked about off the
before
air.
Before we got on here. Always good to see you, man. I realized I was thinking about this in terms of guests. I've had my various shows. I've had my Sirius XM, the podcast with Zane, different podcasts. You're my most frequent guest, and I appreciate that. I want to thank you for that. You have done my shows consistently over the years. I don't know why, but I love having you on, and I want to say thank you for that.
You don't know why I've continued to do your shows, or you don't know why you love me.
I think you're just going to pull the and just go, you know what? I've had enough of this fucking shit. But maybe it's the alcohol. Must be that.
I don't have a very high threshold for like what I'll do and what I'll not do. You just put it on my calendar and I'm in. Obviously, I like you. Obviously, it's sitting around having a drink and talking. That's super easy. But I don't know why. I mean, I get we're in a business and the business has some calculations to it and there's optics and it's like, don't do that guy's show or do this guy's show. And some of it is pure popularity. Like, oh, this guy's show is super popular. Do the other one. The other one is you don't want to go on Tucker Carlson. You'll get into trouble with the business in this town. Or there's a sort of political side of it. And then there's a sort of well, this guy only has 15,000 downloads. What are you doing his show for? I don't have thoughts about either one. My feeling is if somebody asks me to do their show, I'm flattered. And I will usually try to figure out a way to accommodate them.
Well, you're welcome, then.
Yes.
I was marveling because we have this, and we're going to get into this in a second, this new wine that you have. I was thinking about, You've sort of built a little mini empire now in the spirits world. And I remember years ago, you and I were sitting at Baby Blues Barbecue. You were doing, this was when I had a show on Sirius, and you had just come out with Mangria, right?
Right.
This was your new thing. And in fact, it was kind of a really cool event, just to recap for people that weren't listening to my Sirius show. There's not many, but we're sitting in Baby Blues. We're doing the show. I brought along a buddy of mine named Simon Ford. Who's a big shot, even a bigger shot, just got real big in the booze business. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. But he came along. We're like, hey, can you make a drink for us? And he kind of whipped it up on the spot behind the bar at Baby Blues, brings this thing out, hands it to us. Adam and I both take a sip. And we were both kind of blown away by how good it was. It was one of the best drinks I ever had.
You know, it's why Simon is Simon and I'm me, but he said, I want to take your Mangria and I want to put some like citrus in it and then I want to put some rye in it, I believe.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh, that's never going to work. Like, that sounds like the worst idea ever. You know, I thought he was going to dump a little Sprite in it and put a wedge, an orange wedge in it and slide it
to us. Which
is
what you or I would do.
Which is what I would just dump the Sprite in my mouth and then dump the Mangria in my mouth and then I'd swish and then rinse and then swallow. So he does this thing and somehow that rye brings out with the citrus and the Mangria. I don't know why it worked. He also was able to do like the Mangria floater over the top of it.
Right.
And it was so goddamn good. I think we called it the Better Man.
To correct this, that day we called it the Bitter Man because I think you were in a particularly acerbic mood that day. We called it the Bitter Man, and then you wisely chose to rename it the Better Man. But the best was you had a party a couple of weeks later. Remember this in Brentwood? You rented out this whole spot to do the big Mangria thing, and all of these people were there, and they're serving the Better Man, and everybody's just this drink is so great. And I'm just kind of laughing because I'm like, my buddy just made this shit up on the spot like a week ago, and it's incredible. Yeah, so.
I do remember. I don't know. I guess it's like when you go see Celine Dion in concert, and like when your friend drags you, and you go, "I don't want to fucking. That's so lame." And then when you walk out, you go, "She can sing. That lady can sing. And she can play the fiddle." And it's like when you were telling me about your mixologist friend, I was like, yeah, all right, mixologist, right, bartender, right. But then when he did that, I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah. You're good at your job.
Well, and guess what? He got paid too. So Simon went on to start his own brand, Forge Gin, which probably a lot of listeners are sure.
He had a gin
just sold
at the time.
You know this, right? He just sold it to Brown Forman?
No.
I mean, a week or two ago.
For how much?
more than either one of us are making today. I'll tell you that much. I didn't get the full numbers, but I think he probably did pretty well. The company was called the 86 Spirits Company, and they had a tequila and they had a rum. Brown-Forman bought it and said, "We're getting rid of all that Forge gin," which has really, in a very short time, become a gin that's certainly carried at every craft cocktail bar. So congrats to Simon, because I thought that making the Better Man was going to be the highlight of his life in the adult beverage space, but he's done all right.
Yeah.
So now you've got, and then you went, you did a beer, and now you got a new thing that you're doing, a wine project. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about this.
It's Ride on Red, which I didn't name, but I like it because it's red. And I keep telling everyone in L.A., would you turn right on red? And people just stop. And then I honk and they go, like, what do you want from me? And it's like, turn right, you idiot. You can turn.
Yeah.
Everyone's so scared of getting tickets. So Ride on Red is actually because of mine. Red, the color of the wine, Pinot Noir. And it's made out in Walla Walla, Washington, and there's this group called KnockingPoint.com, and they will make you a wine. And those guys came down, and we designed it, and you taste this and taste that. You know how it goes. You pick the ones you like, and everyone sort of has a round table about it. And at the end of the day, we came up with Ride on Red, so now we have a Pinot Noir.
And so you know, Knocking Point is actually the brainchild of Stephen Amell,
right,
who's plays Arrow on the CW, and his buddy Drew Harding.
Right.
And so what they do is they make these wines mostly up in Walla Walla, which is in the southeast part of Washington State, which in my opinion is where you get the best wines from Washington State. And by the way, I think Washington State is probably the best. There's a triple crown in the United States right now. It's California, of course, Oregon, and Washington State. Those are the three states where you're going to get the best wine in the U.S. And the price point for the wines out of Washington State are still, you know, look, you know what you're going to pay for a Napa Cab. You know what you're going to pay for Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley in Oregon. This is Pinot Noir, and I have not tasted it yet, but I'm about to. But I bet you it's as good as anything you're going to get on the West Coast.
Well, I told him I like the Russian River style of Pinot Noir, and that's what we're trying to replicate.
What do you mean by that?
You can get, I'll tell you in a second, you can get bottles, by the way, one at a time, or you can sign up for the wine club if you like as well. I think at CorollaDrinks.com. I don't know nearly as much as you or Simon. I went to a wine place once where making wine up north, California, kind of Napa kind of thing, and the guy, he said, what do you like? And I said, I like Pinot Noir. And he said, oh, let me get you a Russian River Pinot Noir. That's what he just called it. And he served it up, and I really enjoyed it. So that's all
so that's,
I knew.
Russian River is an area of Sonoma County,
right,
which is really makes fantastic Pinot Noir. This one here, and by the way, before I even get into the wine, I would wonder how you would be, Adam, and have you ever done this? Could you go... Because you're talking about Ride on Red. You got to go. Like, you're a guy that doesn't like to waste time, okay? Can you go on vacation? Could you go to Napa Valley and spend 5 days on a leisurely vacation, just maybe hitting two or three wineries a day and strolling the vineyards? And
I can, you know, here's how I work. I can do that. You know, I'm going to go up to Monterey and do the car week. I'm going to race my 935 Porsche at Laguna Seca. I will do a show Saturday night just to recoup some of the money it's going to cost on 117 octane fuel and race tires and everything. Here's how I am. I can go on a vacation. I can go enjoy myself on a vacation. I tend to keep a pen and a buck slip. And I sort of look at everything as like, you know, when people run their own business out of their house and then they go, those Doritos are a write-off. And you go, how are Doritos a write-off? And they go, because I'm eating them sitting at my desk in my den and I'm working. You know what I mean? So for me as a comedian or podcast host or whatever it is, everything is a write-off in terms of everything's an idea. Everything's a possible idea. So I can go on the wine tasting, whatever, and I can take the party train, and I can go do the whole tours, and I can do everything. but I need my little buck slip that I'm holding up in front of you and my little ballpoint pen, and I have to make notes. I have to make little ideas,
it's
jokes.
All fodder. It's all fodder then.
It could be an idea for something for the wine. It could be Corolla drinks. I could see a label I really like that I think would work really well, or I want to use notes of. There could be a documentary idea, you know, the Coppola Vineyard. That's a doc idea, you know, like write that down. How do you get into that? Jokes. Topics for the podcast.
So you couldn't just let the moment, you, I guess that was the point, is like, can you just be in the moment and go, you know what, on in this day, I am purely on vacation, and all I'm going to do is drink wine, and I'm going to shut off that thing in my brain that you're talking about right now, and I'm purely going to enjoy this for the experience of this. Because I can't do that either. I'm just kidding. Yeah, if you, can you do it?
On football season, during football season, have a few guys over, drink some IPAs, watch some football on a Sunday, laugh, order some barbecue. I'm pretty good at it, but I will find myself still making a note of something that somebody says. It doesn't mean I'm not enjoying myself or that I'm pulled out of the moment or not enjoying myself or not immersed in what's going on. It's just, I look at these little thoughts as sort of fleeting, and it could be gone and lost forever, and it could translate into something. And also, I guess there's an element of, I don't know if anyone's ever had this thought. I look at it like in Master and Commander when they were on the Galapagos Islands, and they were like trying to collect these weird stick bugs and stuff, and the boat was like leaving, and they're like, no one will ever see these.
That could be that one nugget of gold that you left behind.
And no one will ever hear it or think of it again.
And you'll be, but I was enjoying the Pinot Noir. No, fuck you, Adam. You blew it. Okay, so this wine, Knocking Point, are you enjoying the flavor of this wine? Is this a, how would you describe this to somebody who wants to buy it? It seems like an easy drinking wine to me.
It's a good price point. I don't know what it is, but it's inexpensive. It's got the element of, it is, you know, bespoke. It's, you're not going to walk into someone else's house and went, oh, I brought a case of this from Trader Joe's. I got it too. And it's like, you know, it's $27, so I'm told. It's like fruity. It's nice. It's, I'm not a harsh, hard, like challenge myself with wine kind of person. Like, I guess I'm with wine the same way I am with classical music, like flowy, peppy, nice, whatever.
So your palate,
I don't
then,
need to be challenged to appreciate it, you
so
know?
Your palate then would be, so if you go to European Pinot Noir, and all Pinot Noir originates from Burgundy, do you like wines that are on the drier, earthier side? You're going to get more of a European style, or like a Pinot, or do you like big California Cabernets, bigger?
I'm that. Like, I like IPAs because they're, like, fruitier and more to them and less dry. And, you know, I don't know. I guess, you know, you could call me a lightweight, but I also like just a nice glass of scotch or rye just straight up with a big ice cube in it. Like, I'm not like I need to drink cotton candy-flavored vodka. Yeah. But when it comes to the beer and when it comes to the wine, I like the kind of fruitier notes to them, whatever. To me, this is, you know, one of those like stone IPAs that has like the tangerine vibe to it or something like that. This is kind of the wine version of that, and that's what I enjoy.
Well, it's really good. How did you, so I know that Steven and Drew had done, they did one with Jason Momoa, I believe. They mm-hmm. did one with Aisha Tyler.
Yes.
Did you know these guys, or how did this come about, this partnership?
My wife, who's Lynette, who's heading up Corolla Drinks, got in with these guys. I don't know who reached out to whom, but either way, the next thing I know, these guys were just sitting in my conference room, which is 8 feet behind us, and we're all just sitting in there, and they were doing what they do best, which is pulling out bottles of wine and tasting them and putting little numbers by them, and everyone was having the, you know, the confab of which one they like, or maybe if we took wine one and wine six and combine them. That's kind of the flavor I'm looking for. And everyone
was
cool.
Do you think you have a palate? Like, was your palate evolved enough where you can go, I think this needs a little bit more fruit, or I think this needs a little bit more minerality, or do you just sort of splash them together and go, yeah, that works?
I'm like, I don't have any experience in, it's like, I can't play an instrument and I can't sing, but I do know music.
Okay.
So, and I think everyone probably says that, but what I mean is, it's like, I understand music without playing it or singing it or studying it. And when I talk to guys like John Popper from Blues Traveler, and I go, here's a song that you guys don't play, he goes, oh, that is a really good song. And then he'll go, oh, that guy was a great session pianist. And then he started putting it in his set. Like, I don't know anything about music, but I do know what's good and what's not good. And I think I feel the same way about wine.
Well, you've done a fantastic job here. This right on red. You can get it. You can go to Corolla Drinks. You can also go to knockingpoint.com to get this. I definitely recommend. You said $27. Mm-hmm. This is a good value Pinot Noir for $27. And Adam, as always, man, thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for always being so gracious. And keep making booze, man. I want a spirit. You need a spirit. You've got a beer. You've got wine. We need a spirit next.
That shall be next. Thanks, right. Dan.
Thank you, man.
Hey, this is Oliver Cooper, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, the show where people like me drink stuff with your host, Dan Dunn.
All right, enough, Cecilia. Jesus Christ.
Sorry,
come on.
I can't help it.
That was fun. Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
You like that one? Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Anything to say about it?
I have actually had his beer, his IPA, and it's awesome. I'm a big IPA fan, and I really enjoyed that.
Do you know who really liked that interview?
Who?
All right.
Matthew McConaughey. He loves everything I do on the show. Yeah, he does.
He's a big fan.
He is a big fan of
you
what
should
we
have
do
him on,
here
next
on
episode.
What We're Drinking. We're going to get him on here. Don't worry. One of these days. We're going to
have
him.
I served him a bottle of Evian water once.
Where?
When he was getting his star on the Hollywood Boulevard.
What were you doing?
I was working with Evian water.
Walking around at that time? Hey, man, have a water.
No, and it was so funny because he was... you know, sitting sort of farther back in his little section with his gorgeous wife and gorgeous kids. And then there was the, you know, massive paparazzi in front of him. And the person I was working for was like, go give him water. Go give him the Evian. So I run over and I'm like, Mr. McConaughey, would you like some Evian water? And he's like, yes, please. And I was standing right in front of him. So I was blocking him from the paparazzi. And there's just like 100 paparazzi people going, get out of the way. Get out of the shot. I'm like, sorry, guys.
And you ruined it.
He was very gracious.
All right.
He was very friendly.
He's a very nice guy. I've met him once before, too. I think I mentioned that to you previously off the air at a screening. I tried to have a moment with him. People were not having it. Like, people... they just glom on the celebrities of that big, don't they? And they just run over. And I'm like, I was trying to actually have a conversation with him about Wild Turkey. And I think he wanted to have that conversation. He was like, this is great. Because
you actually care about
I
the
cared about Long Branch,
you.
his the specific whiskey that he did with Wild Turkey. And it couldn't happen. People were like, no, Matthew, get over here. Picture.
God, that must be
pretty
infuriating.
Okay. We're going to go right now to the portion of the show that I like to call What's Driving Me to Drink.
It's Driving Me to Drink.
That sounds like something from Blade Runner.
You know it's not. It's you breaking
oh,
glasses.
Shit.
No, it's not that. Obviously, we touched on this at the beginning of the show, and we'll just touch on it briefly. Again, what's driving me to drink is fucking murder, man. Like... you know, this is a podcast centered on the appreciation of adult beverages, of course. But It's hard to do it when, you know, again, we're about 12 hours removed from 29 people being murdered. And I got to tell you that I am getting tired of, you know, going on Facebook and having everybody sort of decry what happened and everybody, but nothing's changing. And so what I would implore you to do and what I plan to do is to actually take some sort of action to either write your congressperson or get out and protest or do something, anything.
That's a good idea. You know, why don't we set ourselves a challenge to do something, no matter how small, to do our part?
I just think the time has passed. It probably passed Sandy Hook to just keep going, you know, I don't give a fuck about thoughts and prayers, and I know you don't either, Cecilia. Thoughts and prayers aren't saving lives, and I understand, you know, so much of it has to do with voting, and that's a huge thing, but let's be honest. I mean, we live in California, and how we vote really doesn't matter. I know it sounds shitty, but it doesn't matter because we already know what's going to happen out in California. The Democrats are going to win, and I don't want to overly politicize this show. I really don't want to at all, but the simple fact of the matter is, you know, as long as the Republicans are in charge, they're going to be in the pocket of the NRA. So voting is a huge part of it, but I also think pressuring your congressperson also, and that doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to go shopping or go to a concert or bring your kids to a park and have to worry about getting murdered. And
yeah,
that's the reality.
Makes me sad because I read something today about how a lot of Democratic politicians are saying that, you know, they're not really pushing gun control because it just feels like a lost cause. And that's when things get dangerous, is when people give up.
Yeah, because it's not good politics. But the fact of the matter is again, whatever color you're wearing, whatever, you know, you're red, you're blue, wherever you come from, this is a danger that doesn't discriminate between Democrat and Republican. When somebody starts shooting in an open space, it doesn't matter what you are, you know, when the bullets start flying, and we have to do something. And I would implore
we're calling
you
in the helicopters right now.
You hear that? Yeah, they're coming in. But I know I would implore you out there to do something beyond getting into fights
but on social media,
you know. Because
so that's what I was just going to say. I was on the old Instagram today, and you'd posted a political cartoon, and someone...
Oh, by the way, I'm at the Imbiber. Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
Got the plug in there. Yeah, and someone came at me, and you know what I did?
And said, you know, our NRA has nothing to do with it, and... Well, there's just... I hate the thought that, you know, we start talking about gun control and instantly, you know, they just shut down. There's no arguing. There's no listening.
Yeah.
It's so black and white for, you know, it's black and white for us where we're, you know, we feel very strongly.
The facts are there. The facts are there. Like,
but so that, how do you appeal to the other side? Do you not? Do you not bother? Or is there a way to...
I think you shoot them. Oh, sorry. With a laser. Yeah.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
Pew, pew.
Or thunder.
I shall strike down upon thee with furious anger. That was the Pulp Fiction
quote. Now we're getting silly. But no, I mean it. I mean it. You know, and I'm sorry. I hope this episode hasn't been a bummer. I loved the interview with Adam. But it was hard to do this show today because I've been bummed out all day. And probably most of you are as well. But hopefully by the time I do the next episode next week, there will be no mass shootings. And what's crazy is I'm saying that it's not even a joke, though.
Happen.
It's every day. There's been 251 mass shootings in this country so far this year, and there's only been 220 days or something so far this year. There's more than one a day. And so my prayer is that there isn't by the next time we come together to do this show. And in the meantime, I hope you guys will, you know, take to the streets, take to the internet, take to the phones, do whatever you got to do to...
And continue to drink Lambrusco.
And drink the Lambrusco. That makes
what
me
is
feel,
this?
I'm feeling better already. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Ooh. So I think it's about time for me to head out here.
With that, I want to thank Cecilia Betzel, as always, for being on the show. Cecilia, where can people find you on the intranets?
At ceciliabetzel.com. Wait, no, I keep doing that. At Cecilia Betzel. That's it. No.com.
Okay.
That's about it.
I'm at The Imbiber, but you probably know that. I want to thank Adam Carolla for joining me. You can listen to The Adam Carolla Show wherever podcast streams. Go to Carolla Drinks. Go to adamcarolla.com to find out what he's up to. And I'll see you next week. Or I won't see you, but you'll hear me next week.
Cheers.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
Jesus
God
Christ.
Damn it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.